It's time for Motherlode Views, a look at the issues important to the quality of life in the Motherlode. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service. No job is too big or too small. Call 532-2460.
Well, good morning and welcome to Motherlode Views. I'm PJ Hansen, your host. Well, August 26th, just over a week ago, is a day that the community will remember as parts of downtown Sonora and Jamestown were threatened by the Washington Fire. While the fire is contained, the recovery efforts will continue for some time. Filling us in on the latest this morning, we're joined by a panel of guests. We're pleased to be joined by Tuolumne County Office of Emergency Services Coordinator Dory Beats, Tuolumne County Community Development Director Quincy Yaley, City of Sonora Administrator Mary Rose Rudikanga, and Sonora Fire Chief Amy New. Thank you all for coming on Motherlode Views this morning. I'm going to start first with Chief New. Can you give us kind of a little bit of an overview regarding the fire and how things currently look out there?
So the Washington Fire is 100% contained. It is not 100% controlled at this time. So we still have resources out there patrolling the area to ensure that there are no hot spots that could flare up. We'll be doing that for approximately the next 48 to 72 hours. Also, we have an updated acreage on the fire. It's 136 acres, again, with approximately 40 acres being in the city limits and the remainder of that being in the county jurisdiction. We definitely dodged a bullet on this fire. We had a lot of local help and resources besides the City of Sonora Fire Department, CAL FIRE, local government agencies, and fire departments from all around the state of California were here to assist us. So we're really appreciative of that. And we did lose 18 structures out there, so our hearts and thoughts and prayers go to the families that have lost their homes, and we're hoping to get everyone out there to be able to look at their properties over the next week or so.
What was the terrain like out in that area? Was it a difficult fire to fight?
The brush module that we had out there was extremely thick and overgrown. There has not been a fire in that area in a very long time, so it was difficult making access. Again, the roads are narrow and windy, so getting the fire equipment up into that area was extremely difficult as well. A lot of support from our air attack at Columbia and our air tankers and helicopters definitely were a crucial part of putting this fire out.
No, a lot of people ask about the cause, too. That's something CAL FIRE is still investigating, correct?
Yeah, the fire did start in the county's jurisdiction, so CAL FIRE is currently doing the investigation, and as of now, they have not released a cause of the fire.
I'll turn over to Dory Beats, the county's Office of Emergency Services Coordinator. A local state of emergency was declared in response to the fire. Can you explain a little bit about the process leading up to that and what it all means?
Sure, absolutely. If a local government determines effects of an emergency are beyond the capability of local resources to mitigate effectively, the local government must proclaim a local emergency. So both Tuolumne County and the City of Sonora have proclaimed a local state of emergency as a result of the Washington Fire. And really what that does enables us then to make a request to the state for additional resources. And in those resources that we might need assistance with beyond our capabilities, specifically to household hazardous waste cleanup that was created as a result of the fire, and also debris removal. And so the proclamation is part of the process that all county governments and city governments can make for a request of assistance to the state. So it's a formalized process that we deem and proclaim and then make that request to the state of California.
And Sonora City Administrator Mary Rose Rudikanga, anything else you'd like to add about the disaster declaration from a city's perspective and the impacts witnessed?
Yeah, so just following up with what Dory said, you know, both the city and the county were impacted. And so we wanted to make sure that we proclaimed the emergency to mirror the county as we had quite a response that is going to, you know, cost the city some money as far as the law enforcement mutual aid response and also the damage incurred within the city. So we wanted to do everything in conjunction with the county. We proclaimed at the same time and actually ratified our resolutions at the same meeting along with the Board of Supervisors.
So is the financial impact still being calculated, or is that something that's known at this point?
It's still being calculated. I'm sure as the county goes along with their hazardous waste removal, that's going to take quite some time to determine the cost, the true cost We're still going to be seeking, you know, reimbursements for those neighboring jurisdictions that responded, as Chief New stated, in regards to their costs. So it's going to take quite a bit of time to determine those costs. In the meantime, though, we are requesting financial assistance through the California Disaster Assistance Act, and that is why we did the proclamation and the ratification of those proclamations.
So now that a local emergency has been declared, do you now just wait to see what the state decides to do?
Yeah. Yes, we do. Right, Dori?
Yeah, and so, BJ, also, too, what happens with that proclamation is when the governing bodies submit that proclamation to the governor's office, we have to include what they call an initial damage estimate, or an IDE. And that's really how we identify those impacts and that local response and recovery activities. And so that IDE that we will both be, both the county and the city will be compiling, then we'll assist Cal OES to understand the jurisdictional damages and then prioritize preliminary damage assessment efforts. And so that can lead to state disaster assistance under that CDAA. And so we have to look at the type and extent of public and private sector damage in that IDE. We have to look at estimate of damages and the emergency response cost as a result of the fire, as well as any acute public health and environmental issues as a result of the fire. So we put that together individually as jurisdiction, but that goes combined into the Washington Fire IDE that is created by the state, and they look at that and then make a determination.
Turn over to Quincy Yaley, Tuolumne County's Community Development Director. What's taking place in your department when it comes to things like household hazardous waste and debris removal?
Thanks, BJ. So we our staff has been out on the site in the burn area over the weekend and been doing evaluations along with all of the other responding agencies out there. And the cleanup of this fire really happens in two parts. One is the household hazardous waste cleanup, and the second is the debris removal. And it's really important for the public to know that this site is very dangerous still. There's ash, asbestos, heavy metals, oils, other hazardous materials that are out on the site. And so if anyone who has structures out there or property out there is going back into the area, they need to use the utmost caution. And so we are working with our OES partners and the state of California to devise the cleanup plan for the burn area.
And you need to bring in professional contractors to remove the debris?
We absolutely do. And so the first step that Dori and Mary Rose have mentioned is that these proclamations go to the state of California and we request assistance. We should know next week whether or not that assistance is granted. We're competing with a lot of other emergency response situations within the state of California, and there's just only so many state resources to go around. And so once we hear back from the state on if we'll be able to count on them for debris removal of the household hazardous waste material, then we can get those contractors in there and start cleaning up those areas. Those contractors are licensed for hazmat material removal. They will be using highly specialized personal protective equipment. Myself and the staff who are out there this last weekend, we were donned head to toe in PPE. It's not something that people should take lightly if they're going back into the area. So yeah, special training and licenses are needed in order to perform the cleanup in a safe manner.
Do you have any idea how long this process will take?
Well, the site itself was identified to have 18 structures impacted. That was the damage assessment that Cal Fire completed. However, when we did some other some additional damage assessment with our county staff, we did find a significant number of unpermitted or other types of living quarters that were out on the burn scar. And so we only have a small handful of property owners, but we are aware that the fire impacted a great number of people. So the household hazardous cleanup, hopefully, if the state is able to respond, should just take several weeks. And then we'll go into the debris removal process, which will be extended longer. If any individuals who are impacted by this fire and have questions with regards to structure cleanup or debris removal, please just call our information line, 533-5151, and we can help.
You know, if people are wanting to go into that area, if they have property or they have a home or structure that was in that area, what are some of the precautions that they need to take before going in there?
Great question. So definitely long pants, long sleeves. They need to be wearing gloves, sturdy shoes, eye protection, some type of respirator such as an N95 or equivalent needs to be worn. The slopes are unstable. You just know the side of the hill was burned, and our staff did observe some potential geologic instability out on that property. And so it's very important that if anyone goes in at this point, that they take all the precautions they need to. The county has put out information on those precautions. It's located on our county webpage under the Washington Fire. And they can also always just call our public information line to get to ask questions about that.
You know, as you mentioned recently, being in that burn area, the destruction that the fire caused, have you witnessed, like, are a lot of the structures completely just wiped out, or were they partially damaged? What have you kind of noticed in that area?
So the CAL FIRE damage assessment report, I believe, of the 18 structures, identified nearly all of them as total loss, maybe one or two that had 50% damage. Our local teams, we've observed mostly total loss with respect to some fifth wheels or other types of camp trailers or other types of converted sleeping accommodations. It's very sad, and our heart goes out to those who have been impacted by this fire. The good news is that the magnitude of the fire, while significant for those impacted, we still have the capacity in the Community Development Department to really help those people through the fire. It's not an overwhelming number of properties or structures that we need to handle. And so we're looking forward to really working closely with property owners or individuals impacted by the fire, and really hold their hand and help them and guide them very closely through the process, because it's within our capacity of our staffing resources to do that at this point.
Need to take a quick break. We'll pick up on this conversation in just a minute. We're talking about the Washington Fire and the impacts on this weekend's Motherlode Views. We're joined by a panel of guests, including Tuolumne County Office of Emergency Services Coordinator Dory Beats, Community Development Director for the county Quincy Yaley, Sonora City Administrator Mary Rose Rudikanga, and Sonora Fire Chief Amy New. I'm BJ Hansen, your host. Motherlode Views is brought to you by Nate's Tree Service, where no job is too big or too small. More on this topic is coming up in just a minute.